And as we get to stand up again, but we're just going to kind of stand together. We'll mark a little bit of silence so we can each pray in our own way silently, and then I'll pray. And so we're just together empathizing. We're reaching out. We're saying the pain of that people are going through is our pain. We're kind of trying to own that in a way that I think Jesus did with the people that he associated with and the people that he connected with. These people are over a long distance, but they're still part of our human family. So let's just take a moment and pray for these people. Lord, we pray for each person who's been so adversely affected by the weather, and particularly we're thinking here about Florence and the impacts of a hurricane on communities that have probably experienced this before as well. Lord, we just cry out for mercy and help and comfort and peace. Lord, you said you are with those who mourn, and so be with those who are mourning right now. And Lord, may we as your followers be eyes wide open to the need around us. Open our hearts and open our minds to the other, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you. If you could take a seat. So today we're going to continue on in our series called Adventures in Happiness. The title today, the theme today is Adventures in Purpose. And as we saw in that opening video, if you managed to catch that video at the beginning, we saw how servanthood, serving others, being others-oriented, connects us to this higher purpose, this deeper sense of meaning. So we're going to be exploring that a little bit today. Now, I wanted to just get really honest right up front. If you look around you, around this sort of outside of the this auditorium, you'll see that we have lots of tables set up, and that's because right after the service, when it ends, we're going to have our ministry fair. We do this every year, where we are going to try and recruit you to serve in this church. So I'm just going to be really upfront about that. We're going to talk a lot about servanthood today, and I want to try and present the case really why it's worth serving in a community like this, and the importance of that, and the meaning of that, and actually the happiness that can actually generate. So I just wanted to be really upfront about that, so you didn't feel kind of manipulated when I get to the end of the message and then sort of throw that one in there on you. But perhaps more important than that, again, if we just sort of look around, and you're going to have plenty of time to browse afterwards, but if you just look around, each of these tables represents all kinds of people doing all kinds of things in our community. And so, I wanted to say, and I'm sure we all want to say to one another, thank you to this community and for everything that people put into this community, all the work that goes into it. I say that heartfelt say that, both as someone who's trying to lead a community and realizing that, man, we are so dependent, and my job is so dependent on people showing up and serving and loving and just being there. So I'm really grateful from that point of view. But also, just as a member of the community, I am a recipient and beneficiary of so much work that goes into caring and loving in this community. So at the outset, I think we just give ourselves and one another a big round of applause, because there's so much work that goes in. So let's do that now. That's not to pat ourselves on the back, but rather to mark the fact that it's pretty incredible what goes on here. And, you get a chance to tap into some of that afterwards. So, for sure, look around afterwards at ways that you could join in and actually participate in serving. We'll talk about that as we go through. But also ask questions. Just find out what's going on. And even if it's an area that you're not particularly interested in or don't think that you're going to end up serving in, ask loads of questions and just listen to some of the stories about what's happening in our community. I think it'll be illuminating and kind of gives us a deeper sense of connection when we know what's going on. So that's what after the service is all going to be about. Now, we're in the series Adventures in Happiness. We have, of course, been kind of, as we go along, defining what we mean by this term happiness. You know, we're not talking about some kind of superficial self-gratification or anything like that. We're talking about something deeper, something that's perhaps, you know, in some ways better expressed as joy. It kind of transcends how we're feeling in any one particular moment. It's not just the fleeting sense of happiness that we get when wonderful things are happening, but it's a more prolonged sense of meaning and purpose. And you know, we've actually talked about the fact that there's perhaps two aspects, two ways we align ourselves as followers of Jesus in order to experience this fuller life, this beautiful life, this joyful life, this rich, meaningful life that Jesus said was on offer for us, that and we were invited to participate in an experience. And those two things are this sense of higher meaning, purpose. We're part of a bigger story. This is what Jesus was talking about. Jesus came and said, he taught us to rethink, to repent, literally is what that means, to rethink about the universe and our lives and our place in it. And he started talking about this God of love who embraces everyone, and there's room for everyone. And this God of love is intimately connected to us and totally accepting of us and never going to give up on us. And history is actually heading towards this positive outcome, believe it or not. It's because God is not giving up. And so there's this sort of reconciliation of all things and this healing of the universe that Jesus is talking about that we get to participate in. And it's a personal thing. It affects us. We are beneficiaries of it. But Jesus also invites us into that journey, into that, the working out of all that. So we participate in it as well as benefit from it. The other sort of aligning aspect is to experience that life, to experience that higher meaning, that higher purpose. Ironically, we have to take our eyes off ourselves. It's as we give our lives away, as we become less focused on our own needs and more centered around other people, that doesn't mean we hate ourselves or consider ourselves unimportant. You know, Jesus was not saying that at all. But as we begin to give our life away, we experience more of that happiness, more of that joy, more of that meaning. And that obviously is kind of tricky because it's almost paradoxical. You would almost think that focusing on our own needs and securing our own lives first would be the whole goal. That's how, I think that's how probably most of us by default are wired. We instinctively think that way. So Jesus is not only getting us to rethink what the universe is like, what reality is like, but getting us to rethink in the very practical day-to-day how we actually live. And that can feel uncomfortable at times. You know, it doesn't necessarily come naturally. And so Jesus calls us into this process of following where we gradually are changed and transformed and learn this new way of life. And we call that following discipleship, right? So that's a word we use a lot around here. It just means following Jesus and kind of learning a new way of living. So that's the context of this series that we're going through. Today we're talking about adventures in purpose. And I guess I want to make the case that the way we live out that that different kind of life, that different kind of lifestyle where we're focused on other people, that the way we kind of make flesh, make real this new reality of the universe that we're talking about, this reality of love, is through the vehicle of servanthood. It's through serving others. That's how this thing is lived out. That's how it's made real. Now, I think we've talked a lot about servanthood at this church over the years. You know, it's not a new subject. So, to be honest with you, I don't want to labour the point, you'll be glad to know. But I just want to get us to think about it. Maybe, I'm going to share a few things that may, one or two of them might apply specifically to each of us. And we can just think again about this topic that I think sometimes becomes so familiar to us that it can pass us by. Let's just, at the beginning here, let's look at a scripture. Again, very familiar scripture. We've read this, goodness knows how many times. But I think it's very relevant here when we think about connecting this sense of higher purpose, this kind of cosmic destiny, if you like, to how do we live in the here and now, in the day-to-day. This is the Apostle Paul talking about Jesus. And he's talking about Jesus and trying to apply it to how we should live. So he says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Those are great questions, right? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude as Jesus Christ had. So he's sort of talking about this life. At the beginning there, he's talking about this life we've been discussing briefly here. Like, how do we live a life that's for others, that's not just focused on ourselves? And notice he doesn't say, totally ignore yourself and your own needs. He's not saying that. He's saying, you know, as well as that, think about others. And don't think too highly of yourself. In other words, don't let your center of gravity be too much revolving around yourself, right? So, and that's, I think, a good recalibration for all of us, right? We can think, okay, where's my center of gravity? Is it really around me, essentially? And the connections I have with other people are mostly to do with how they make me feel, what they do for me, you know, all that kind of thing. Or is my center of gravity more out there? And I think that's the sort of challenge that Paul's putting out there. And so to sort of bring this challenge into a sense of higher purpose, he then refers to Jesus. So he says, have the same attitude as Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what we have here is probably, that second section is probably a hymn, a creed, some kind of saying that was commonly used in the early churches at that time, and Paul's drawing on this to make this his case for we should be like Jesus is, and that, you know, it's full of great theological meaning, lots of rich metaphors there. You know, we've explored that here before from time to time. I think what we can say here, though, is that what we're getting is it's like the currency of the way of Jesus. We're seeing here that there's this sort of cosmic picture of Jesus, the kind of life that Jesus lived, and it's really saying, okay, Jesus didn't count equality with God something to be held onto, in other words, or clung to. It's equating Jesus with God, and that's a very significant statement to make back then, and that's more of a common thing to consider now after 2,000 years of theology. But that's a pretty radical thing that Paul is saying there. But Jesus didn't hold on to that. Jesus let go of all that, and this cosmic story is lived out through a simple act of servanthood. It's through love, and it's made flesh. It's made real through servanthood. That's how this story unfolds in real time, in real place. And then he's saying, so if that's true, then we need to reorientate ourselves. We need to have a different center of gravity. We need to have different coordinates, if you like. And that's going to change. If we can rethink in that sense, it's going to change how we make day-to-day decisions about that person, about this person, about myself, etc., and how we interact. And that's the challenge that Paul is giving that church there. He's writing a letter to a church that was struggling with various things, and he's calling on them to live in the here and now in a different kind of way, because we're part of a different reality. And if we can grasp both of those, then perhaps we can make progress along this journey that we call discipleship. So I wanted to just share a few reflections that are kind of related to that, that concept here. I'm just going to share four of them. That sort of address, I think, in some ways, the tension or the struggle between this big picture, this big reality, and the here and now, this sense of connection to that higher purpose, living that out in the nitty-gritty of daily life, and when kind of the rubber hits the road, and when sometimes our ideals and our grandiose thoughts can get left behind. The first one, I've sort of alluded to it already, is this sense of there's the big picture, the cosmic picture, and there's the here and now, the daily grind of life. And that, I think, is really represented for us here as a community by our vision and our mission, right? So our vision, we use the word imagine a lot, right? We say, imagine a community like this, and we looked at that video last week. Imagine being a community that dares to dream of heaven on earth. We're imagining that this reality can become true. So our vision represents, in many respects, that bigger purpose, that bigger reality, and it represents the future in some ways. It's like where we're headed towards. I don't think you could read our vision, for instance, and say, yeah, that's us. Yeah, us again, right? You know, we're an exact representation of that. I don't think any of us could say that, right? But it's where we're headed towards. It's what we dream is possible. As we're following Jesus, we believe another world is possible, and that other world is kind of in this world. It's not just another world on another planet. We're not trying to escape that other world, but we're living. We want to embrace that world here. But it's what we're headed towards. Okay, so that's but without vision, we've got nothing to aim at. Nothing. We lose our sense of purpose. But in the day-to-day, our purpose is more represented by our mission. And our mission is to be and make disciples in authentic community for the good of the world, right? So it's all about discipleship. It's all about making decisions in any given moment about how we're going to respond. What choices are we going to make? How are we going to spend our time? How are we going to treat that person? How are we going to treat ourselves? What things are we going to think? What do we choose to think about somebody or about this scenario or that scenario? What import do we put on things? What are our values? How do we live those values out? Those are all things that in the here and now, how we behave in our jobs, how we behave in our families, how we behave at church. But that's probably a small part of it, right, in terms of the whole of life. But that is where this is lived out. So being a disciple and making disciples, okay, so there's this, we've talked about that in this series already. That's we are on that journey ourselves, but we're also encouraging and inviting other people onto that journey. That you can't separate those two things out. So that becomes the purpose for us, okay? Our purpose as a church is to be and make disciples. So everything we do here is all about that. It's all about it. So we can ask ourselves a couple of questions there. To what degree am I being a disciple? Am I becoming more of a disciple? And then the other question is, to what degree am I helping make other disciples? And that's where I think servanthood comes in to a large degree, not only in terms of how we live our own lives, and let's face it, we think about discipleship here as growth, community, and servanthood, right? We talk about those. We want to grow as people. We want to do that in community, and we want to reach out to others. Well, that itself represents an attitude of servanthood, right? I mean, even personal growth, working at ourselves, is an act of servanthood to the world, really. We're saying, it matters what I'm like. There's some vested interest in it for me. Presumably as I grow as a person, I'm going to become a happier, more fulfilled person. But also, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better citizen, if you like, of the planet. I'm going to be a better person in my family. I'm going to be a better person at work. I'm going to be a better person in my neighborhood. I'm going to become a better person. I'm going to hopefully have a positive impact on the environment. Working, doing the hard work of personal growth is itself an act of servanthood, I would say. Being in community is an act of servanthood. Saying, it's not just me, it's others that matter. That is an act of servanthood. Being willing to let other people in your life, being willing to be in other people's lives, being willing to be vulnerable. All of those things really are about servanthood. So servanthood is very much part of discipleship. And making disciples really requires us to think through, okay, it's not just about me, it's about other people. So we've said before, you know, when we think about our involvement in church, you know, in a community like this, all these tables around this side represent people and activities that are about others. It represents making disciples, right? It represents people making the choice, okay, I want to give back. I want to help others experience what I have experienced. And that looks different for all of us. It looks very different, right? We all have different giftings and different orientations and different perspectives, and that, you know, so the way we serve looks different. But it's really a choice to say, what I've experienced is really important, and I want to help other people experience that. So this vision of ours is made real only in our purpose, our mission, which is to be and make disciples. So that's one thing I think for us to think about. Perhaps that can help align us a little bit about our own place, our own role, our own personal story in the bigger story of this church here. The other thing is, another sort of aspect of this is, I guess, there's a tension, I think, around, do we really believe this? I mean, honestly, do we really, when we think about the bigger picture, okay, of love and sacrifice and the sort of, I suppose, the cosmic nature of the universe, the sense of actually love will win the day, as a sort of overarching story, do we really believe that when we look through history and look at around us in our own lives and look at put on the news and it seems like no, the strong overcome the weak and the powerful run the, you know, win the day, you know? So I think there are so many things that can inhibit us even really believing that. So I'm going to just put that out there as a question, because it sounds like great news, right? This story of the reconciliation of all things and that love wins the day. But I guess we have to ask ourselves the question, do we really believe that higher purpose? And then on this more mundane level, in the here and now, in any given moment when we have to make a decision, perhaps a decision about putting somebody else first, or just stepping back ourselves, putting our own interests behind the interests of somebody else. In any given moment when we're faced with that kind of option, which I think we're probably faced with those kinds of options multiple times every day. I mean, let's face it, I think our inclination is to, oh, you know, I don't want to take that risk. It feels very risky, right? So the question is, do we really believe this? And I want to put it out there as a question and not necessarily answer it for you. I just want to talk about myself a little bit and say that I can remember, probably this would be in my late 20s, and I've thought this multiple times since, but sort of got to a point of thinking, I think this way of Jesus might actually be a complete load of rubbish. Just being honest with you. This whole thing of, you know, that, you know, if you love will win the day, and ultimately good will triumph, because you know, in so many situations it doesn't seem like that, right? And I've had you know, one particular, and I think of multiple smaller kind of dark nights of the soul around this, thinking, is this really worth it? Is this really worth it? On that particular dark night of the soul, I did not hear an audible voice or anything like that, but I had this deep impression that to me felt like some kind of divine communication. This is if God was talking to me in that moment, it really felt like that. And it was, oh, so you had your own outcomes in mind in this, did you? Something in us, when we go back to that, we won't look at it again, but that scripture in Philippians, we read about Jesus being exalted, right? At the end of it, it says Jesus lowered himself, but Jesus was exalted. I think we can interpret that as, actually, servanthood is a great thing to do to sort of win people over so that we get, you know, we end up on top eventually. So, you know, you think about that, you know, customer service, right? It's service with a bit of an ulterior motive, right? Or, you know, you think of the, you know, servant leadership and all the writing about servant leadership. I mean, it's great stuff, and I think, you know, wonderful stuff, but it's always, because you'll be better off if you lead that way. You know, there's an ulterior motive in it for us. And I think the thing here is, I'm not sure that Jesus was living the life that he lived because he's thinking, wait a second, if I do all this, then God's going to make me the most powerful being in the universe, and then I can kick butt and take names, and then it'll be like, you know, you should have listened to me in the first place. We don't see anything like that from Jesus. You know, Jesus comes back from the dead. I've said this multiple times before. If any one of us here was persecuted like Jesus was, killed, executed unfairly, came back from the dead, we would not be able to resist the temptation to sort of hover over Jerusalem and intimidate the heck out of our enemies. Because we all want vindication, we all want validation, we all have an ulterior motive in mind, I think. And so servanthood can easily become this little, you know, little twisted, you know, choosing that pathway is really, well, it's going to be the pathway that ends up better for me in the end anyway. And when it doesn't, we can be incredibly disappointed. But I think what Jesus is saying here, no, this is the currency of the universe. Or sorry, what Paul is saying is this is the currency of the universe. And when we talk about Jesus being high and lifted up, I think it's saying actually servanthood becomes high and lifted up. Servanthood wins the day. This way of life is what resonates most with reality, not the way of power, the way of control, the way of subjugation. It's like a servant is elevated and stays a servant and continues to be a servant. So I think we have to ask ourselves the question, are we willing to walk down that pathway, even when it frequently doesn't always work out right for us? And that's, I mean, that's a huge question to ask. I ask it very, very rarely. I think it's absolutely worth it because nothing else is going to change this world. We, you know, fighting and control and hate, revenge, putting ourselves first, whatever guise we want to put on the other way, just doesn't ultimately deal with anything. It doesn't really deal with the issues. I think what Jesus is saying when Jesus comes to us is, you know, there's a way to rethink the whole thing, and it begins with us addressing this issue of servanthood in our own life, this orientation within our own life. Can we, over time, begin to live differently? Not ultimately because it's going to benefit us, but because the world will be different. And this is the sort of servant-hearted approach that Jesus took, that Paul is appealing to his church communities about. Here's another thing to think about, another as we think about servanthood. And it's the, and we're sort of homing in a little bit more now on what does servanthood mean in a church community? Because I could be up here now, really, you know, I've got a vested interest in all of you serving, right? Because I mean, to some degree, my livelihood depends on it. Please, just go and sign up, whatever. You know, I'm a leader in an organization that needs people to do stuff, right? So, I mean, this could be, here's me pontificating about servanthood, but it could be me just trying to twist your arms to get you to do something. I don't want to do that at all. And in fact, you know, when we stop and think about it, this is sort of the other tension. It's the tension between the kingdom of God and the church. This whole idea of servanthood the church is just one part of that. Right, really, our focus, especially if you look at our vision is about the kingdom of God. In other words, it's not just about, you know, we have a vision to become the best church on earth or anything like that. This is about we want to see heaven on earth. We want to see the world changed. We want to see healing. We're sort of trying to connect with this much higher purpose of reconciliation and healing for the whole world. And we recognize that we have a part in that. We're not, by the way, masterminding that whole plan. Although, look around, you'd think we've probably got a good handle on that, right? You know, no, we're just a small part of it, right? But we're participating in that much bigger story. So we're focused on the kingdom of God. So, for instance, in terms of servanthood, in terms of serving, you know, our goal here as a community is that we would live lives of servanthood. That means an approach to our families, an approach to our jobs, of seeing, I mean, many of us, just take those two things, many of us are serving like crazy in our families, looking after people in our families, maybe really young people, or really old people, or sick people, or just earning a crust, right, for our families. Some of us are in our jobs doing really amazing work, often in very difficult circumstances, and it requires a huge amount of servanthood to persevere and to persevere in a way where we're not really bitter and twisted and antagonistic. That's where this is lived out, right? That's where it's lived out. It's lived out in our neighborhoods, in the ways that we interact with our neighbors, or the contribution we make to our part of society in our neighborhood. That's where all this is lived out. It's not just about what happens in here on an hour or so on a Sunday, or even in all the activities that we see around the room. So in one sense, what we're doing is all about the kingdom of God. And it's about, when we think about it, even as a church, we're not trying to get our name out there or just promote ourselves. We want to celebrate success of all faith communities and all people who are working for good, working towards heaven on earth in our local community. So, for instance, yesterday we were at Burtonsville Day. Anybody else venture out to Burtonsville Day? We had a few people out there. It's probably not the hottest social event of the year on most people's calendar, but it's a really great event, and local people get together, and there's lots of politicians out, especially this time of year, you know, sort of peddling their wares, and we got put in a block with several other churches. It's like, we had a booth, you know, with other churches. It's like, why did you put us all together? Because there's a sort of almost inbuilt competition, you know. Anyway, I got chatting to Liberty Grove Methodist Church next to us, and they are a fantastic church. They just do so many things in our community. So I was thinking, how can we do better than them? What can we do? And then I started thinking, maybe there's some, how can we undermine them? And just, you know, I thought the first one a little bit. I'll confess, I didn't think the second one, just so you know. But actually, I was thinking, it's great, what they're doing is great. And I was talking to this woman who's been in the church since the 1960s, who's faithfully served, and they're not a huge church, but they do so many things for other people. And we were kind of celebrating what they were doing together, and it was a really great thing. She said one or two positive things about us. She'd heard of us, anyway. But they knew about the farm and the different things. So this is about the kingdom of God, right? It's not about us getting our name out there or us thinking that we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's about a much higher purpose. However, there is this thing called church, right? These communities like us that have distinctives, and we're not Liberty Grove. We're not the other church down the road, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We're who we are. And last week when Ruth was talking, she was talking about some of our distinctives, and people kind of shared from here about what Cedar Ridge means to us, why this particular community is important. So when we think about servanthood, there's this sense of it being a much bigger thing than our church. But there's also this reality of this church being really important. And for all of us as participants in this community, we need to think, like, what are we contributing? What are we doing to help this community flourish and thrive for the benefit of others, not just ourselves, and for the benefit of others who are yet to come, for the benefit of others who would actually, they don't know it yet, maybe necessarily, but they would benefit from being part of this in the same way that we have. You know, and there's nothing wrong in thinking that, right? Because we're not trying to sell something or con anybody into anything. We're just saying, actually, this has been pretty good to us. It's been so good to us that we actually get out of bed on a Sunday morning and show up. Every single one of you did that today. So there must be something in it. And I think it's more than what goes on a Sunday morning, right? It's this sense of community. And it's to do with these things that are around the room out here. It's to do with all the sort of activity that goes on, and the service and the work and the sense of rapport and the sense of community that's going on. That's where this counts. That's where this really matters. So this church, this community matters. Liberty Grove really matters, and we should be encouraging those people to really serve in their church so that their church flourishes and thrives. But this community, this Cedar Ridge Community Church, this really matters as well. So we've all got to think through, how do we translate this higher sense of purpose, this sense of the kingdom of God and our vision, practically into our purpose, our mission of being and making disciples and serving in this community. And that's the adventure, when we think about adventures in purpose, that's the adventure I want to invite you into this morning, because there are so many ways we can do that within our community. And after the service, as I said, you get a chance to just find out about all the different things going on, and you can celebrate all the different things going on, but there are also needs. And so this adventure becomes this sort of risk, if you like. It's risking kind of landing in a community like this, sort of taking that sense of, yeah, I want to be about love and service and making the world a better place, and sort of risking not only sacrificing time and that kind of thing, and that's a big risk, but also risking, is the small thing I'm going to do here really worth it, right? Because Jesus was constantly talking about doing small things. It's like when we land from that big picture, it's like the thing we do can almost seem like, well, that's not that big a deal, is it really? But Jesus talked about leaven in bread and a little seed that grows into a tree, and starts talking about actually small things. Everything begins small. Everything of value begins small and comes into grows into something more meaningful. Did something flash up on the screen there? So as we think about this, look at these tables, let's consider these tables an invitation into an adventure, a risk, that actually that story is being translated, that big reality is being translated in a unique way here in this community, and we can participate in it, we can be part of it. And in fact, unless people like you and me do that, the potential here will never be fulfilled in the way that is possible. Now, let's just look at a couple of other scriptures that sort of illustrate a couple of points that I think are relevant, and then I'm going to invite somebody up just to share a little bit with us. So this one is from Romans. Paul again, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So our whole bodies, our whole beings are instruments of worship. Okay, our whole lives. That sort of gets at this holistic kingdom of God thing. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, right? We've been talking about that. A new reality, a new way of looking at the world. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So there's a list of gifts there. And these gifts sort of, we might call them motivations. They have a sense of personality associated with them in some respects. Paul is saying, I think when he says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to there, you know, he's sort of repeating what he says in Philippians. I think he's probably meaning, hey, don't be too pushy, don't think you're too gifted kind of thing. But I think he's probably also saying, hey, don't think so highly of yourself that you're not prepared to give that small thing in this community, because he's writing to church communities and trying to help these church communities thrive and flourish. So he's trying to, I think what he's saying is, don't hold back. Don't hold back because you think that maybe this is too small or not too insignificant, but freely give your gifting. And for us, for many of us, we're all gifted in different ways, and for many of us, we just need to find how to express what we're naturally inclined to do in this community. So as you go around afterwards, you're going to sort of interact with people, and there'll be some things there that feel like, oh yeah, that's kind of who I am. That feels like I would really like to do that. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think we've all experienced being kind of in the zone in those situations. You know, Eric Liddell, the famous athlete from, early part of the last century, who Chariots of Fire was based on him. He's famously said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. In other words, when we're doing what we are about, what we're wired to do, we have a sense of meaning and purpose. That's a beautiful thing. But let's look at another scripture. This one's from Colossians. Paul again, he says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you're serving is Christ. In other words, whatever you're doing, do it like you're doing it for God. Do it with this sense of higher purpose. And I think what we're getting there is this sense that, there's stuff that just needs doing. It just needs to get done. And whether we're sort of motivated that way or it sort of fits with our gifting, we've probably all done things or all have things on our to-do list that just need to get done. And church is like that. So around this room, there will be things where it's like, you might be drawn to it because you're aware that this needs help. Somebody needs to do these things. And both of those are important in any community, I think. People just getting into serving in their gifting, in the way that they're motivated, in the way that they're wired, and us all recognizing that for stuff to happen here, we've got to kind of pull our fingers out and just do stuff. Stuff needs to happen. And we can... Sometimes it's not all that much fun, actually. It can feel like hard work. But one thing that I think we all know is that it's always much better fun when somebody else is doing it with us, right? So if we jump in there with other people, it's going to be more fun anyway. So let's hold both of those kind of tensions in place as we go around afterwards and as we interact with these tables. And I just want to encourage you to take some time afterwards for that. More about that in a second. To sort of wrap up for now, though, I'm going to invite John Evans. Where's John? He's going to come up and let's give John a round of applause. Because John is going to share with us a little bit. You can sit down, yeah. We're going to sit here. He's just going to share with us a little bit about some of his story because... John, John works on the soundboard. He works in a number of different areas. Some of you may have seen him out when we've done our movie nights, projecting the movies on the barn. And this guy has just worked unbelievably hard and incredibly creatively to produce some really great, great end product, in terms of the movies in the barn. He'll probably just share a little bit about that. But first of all, John, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your story coming here and getting involved in serving, in working in this community?
Sure. It's kind of funny. I feel a little sheepish being under the hot lights as a model of servanthood or whatever because, first of all, I know so many people do so many more things and give their time and so on really selflessly and faithfully and in ways that I can only admire. But and also, another thing that makes me maybe a little sheepish is that we've been here for probably almost 4 years, and for the first year or two of those, I was well aware of various needs around the church, but I was kind of reluctant to kind of jump in. I think probably what my thinking was I wanted to do big things, for the kingdom, more outward-facing, missional kinds of things, and I was a little reluctant to just keep the machine running. Very pejorative term to use, but those were thoughts that ran my mind. I was kind of holding out for something bigger than just joining one of these groups. And I guess it was a couple different things happened. One was Brian Peterson very patiently sent me email after email to remind me to maybe volunteer with Cedar Ridge Kids. And I sort of sporadically participated in that for a while before finally getting into a regular schedule with him. And I've since grown to really enjoy being with the kids in the Cedar Ridge kids. And then the other thing that happened was, like, I forget which ministry fair it was, that my wife leaked to Sarah Burke that I had experience with running a soundboard. And I had previously kind of kept that to myself because I wasn't sure that I wanted to do something that was just kind of keeping things going on a Sunday rather than really reaching out and doing the sort of quote-unquote bigger things that I think you were alluding to. So I jumped into that, and I still remember the first time I came in for training. It took several months to sort of get used to this fairly complex sound system that we have, I kind of jumped into that, and I've really grown to enjoy that. And I guess I've come around to say, well, as I guess you were saying a few minutes ago, sure, there's lots of things that go on outside of this room or this building on a Sunday morning, and you know, nonetheless, this is kind of there's a lot of very worthwhile, important, thought-provoking, and in some ways life-changing things that go on here in these precious 2 hours or so on a Sunday morning, and that's well worth participating in to make sure that that's as effective and powerful as it can be.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed playing that role. It's, I hope, mostly invisible. Sometimes we mess up and it's not so invisible for a few seconds. But
I think what you're saying is you can run but you can't hide. Right, is one thing, right? that will grind you down eventually, and we'll get you eventually. But it took you some, I think what you say, it took you some time to kind of, you had some space, but then you realized, you know, that there is value in the small thing. There's the value in the here and now kind of stuff.
Yeah. I really, really saw that. And then that role, particularly the audio and visual role, I really, it kind of clicked with me, and I really enjoyed doing that. And then, as you mentioned with the outdoor movies, I guess it was last year, October or so of last year, that Steve Mather invited me to help him kind of troubleshoot a few things with the outdoor movie series we did last year. And I saw a number of ways in which we could make things easier and more effective. And so then this year, surprise, surprise, I found myself in charge of that. And I really kind of threw myself into it. Yeah, my son Diesel and I came out here several evenings because you can only test this kind of thing at night, right? So we came out here kind of slinking around the various buildings here, getting things set up and doing tests and so on. And it was fun to make that as powerful and effective as it could be.
Yeah. So that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that one sounds like you've really enjoyed that. I mean, that sort of tapped into some of your creativity, and so there was some happiness and pleasure in that.
Right.
Not that you mentioned serving in children's ministry, right? Or Cedar Ridge kids. Not that you necessarily hate that, but that may not feel like such a great sort of an obvious fit for you. But tell us a little bit about that one.
Right. One, I guess for the first several months that I participated in that, on both sides of the building, actually, my kind of wry joke to people was that I felt equally awkward with any age group, so I might as well help with the different age groups. And so I was kind of, Brian started calling me the floater. You know, you never knew where I was going to be at a particular age. But then I kind of ended up kind of converging on the kindergarten to second grade age group.
Yeah.
And it's still maybe sometimes a little awkward, not quite sure what to do. I mean, I've had kids, but other people's kids, that's a whole different story. But we make it work, and it's actually, I should say, if anyone's interested in participating in that way, it's much easier than it might sound. I've been places where if you're the Sunday school person, you have to dream up your own curriculum for the day or maybe the month, and that's a bit of a high bar. This here, Brian does a lot of work to make it much easier than it might seem, and has a curriculum, say this, read this, ask that, pray this. And so it's actually pretty straightforward to participate.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm also thinking here, I mean, there's a sense, I think, with those two ways you're serving, that one of them has a very clear outcome, right? I mean, in the sense, the quality of the image on the screen, or so, however you want to measure that, or the quality of the sound, whatever. I mean, and you know, there's a beginning and an end to a service and something accomplished. And some serving roles are like that, but there's other roles. I mean, this is just what strikes me. There's other roles where you don't really know what difference did I make, what impact did I have. And it comes back to that small, being willing to make that, do that small thing. I think of that with church. Like we do lots of different things. You know, we do the farm, we serve in our community, there's lots of things we do where we don't always see the end result. And that can sometimes be more challenging to serve in that kind of way. Would you say in children's ministry, what have you seen there? What have you observed in terms of outcomes or differences?
Well, a couple things come to mind. One is that the obvious outcome that there is a set of parents that get to participate in this more fully than they might if we weren't providing the Sunday school. Another thing is kind of getting to know the kids better, sometimes seeing growth and maturity, and sometimes just connecting with them and getting to know them, getting to know their quirks and what gets them excited. And so sometimes you get that sort of an outcome. And every once in a while, I think anyone who works with kids can probably relate. You learn something from something the kid says. You go, right. Oh, I never saw it that way. I'm gonna take that to heart and live by it.
Yeah. So it comes back to you.
So it's unpredictable.
Yeah, so it comes back to you, yeah. Hey, John, thanks so much for sharing with us. Let's give John a round of applause, everybody. Thank you. I'll get back. We just thought it would be great for you to hear from John. He's done so much here. But there's many stories like that. Like he said, he's in the spotlight. But there's many stories like that. And so I just want to encourage you. And we're going to have communion now. And so this will be, I think, worth reflecting on during communion. To just sort of consider, okay, as we come to communion, we're participating in all the benefits of the life of Christ, right? That's sort of metaphorically what we're doing here. We're eating bread and wine, which represents Christ offering life to us and all that we receive through that. But we're also participating as we take the bread and wine. It's gluten-free crackers and grape juice. As we take it, we're also participating in the life that Christ lived, which is this life of servanthood. And so we're really thinking about, okay, we want to be beneficiaries. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. We're all here because we've benefited in some way from this community. But we're also challenged to both be a disciple and make disciples. We've got to think through, okay, what are we contributing in that way? Because to follow Jesus means both of those. So let's sort of wrestle with that as we come to communion this morning. So you can serve one another here at the front or at the back there. We've got people that will serve us at the sides. As we always do here, we can light candles that can represent a cry of the heart, a prayer, or just hope for any one of us. We can pray with people at the back, that side mostly. If you have a burden or just weighed down with anything that's troubling you, you want to talk to somebody or pray with somebody, we'll be in the back corner there. We'd love to pray with you. You can write out prayers too. There's two stations towards the back. You can give financially. That's another sort of act of service. So all these ways to respond as we take communion now, and the band will be playing a song that we can sing along to as well. So let's just pray and then come forward. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love, your life. Thank you for this miracle that there is a solution, there is a way to the darkness, and through the darkness, and through the through all that is broken. And that is this way of love and servanthood, and it leads us to wholeness and health and life. And Lord, we choose that pathway. So God, as we eat bread and drink wine this morning, we're just saying yes to that way. And would you come and help us in our yes? We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So please come forward, take the bread and wine. Thank you.
If you're so inclined, feel free to stand back up as we sing one more song.